Well, happy December, everybody. Can you believe it's December? You want to give December a round of applause? Is that... It's the month of these great Christmas classic movies like Miracle on 34th Street. That movie is about a fellow who believes himself to be Santa Claus. Now, whether there is a Santa, whether he was a Santa, I'm going to leave that to you parents to talk about with your families. But I do believe that the big story of Christmas is not Kris Kringle, but Jesus Christ. And if you are in need of a miracle on your street, well, this is the time. This is the season, and the time is now. If you're in need not of a jolly fellow with some elves and reindeer, but a mighty God with angels and grace, then the message of Christmas is the message for you. Let's pray, and then we'll get to work. Oh, Heavenly Father, have mercy upon us now as we hear your word. Forgive our speaker, his sins are so many, and grant that we can see Jesus, just Jesus. Through Christ we pray. Amen. It all happened in a moment, most remarkable moment, the moment that Christ entered the world. Could we somehow, or if we could somehow, take that moment off the timeline and pick it up and examine it like we would a ruby or a diamond, it would not appear any different than the billions that preceded it and the billions that succeeded it. It was just an ordinary moment. Through that moment in time, a most remarkable thing occurred. God entered the world. Heaven placed her finest in the womb of a Jewish teenager, and the Word became flesh. According to the Apostle Paul, this moment was a moment chosen in time before time began. Most of the time when we think about Christmas passages, we think of something from the Gospel of Matthew or the Gospel of John or the Gospel of Luke. We don't typically think of the book of Galatians as a Christmas text, but we should and we will. For Galatians 4 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul writes this: "When the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law." The point here is that Jesus came at the right moment. Note that phraseology of the apostle. When the set time had fully come. In other words, there was a set time, a time indicated by God and chosen by God. The time that Christ entered the world was not just a matter of coincidence, but it was something of providence. It was a time established by God before the foundation of the world. As one commentator writes, historians tell us that the Roman world was in great expectation, waiting for a deliverer at the time Jesus was born. The old religions were dying. The old philosophies were empty and powerless to change men's lives. Strange new mystery religions were invading the empire, and religious bankruptcy and spiritual hunger were everywhere. God was preparing the world for the arrival of his Son. The conditions of the world were perfect for the arrival of the Messiah. For the first time in history, the Greeks had given the world a universal language. And this language would be the language in which the gospel would be written and the story would be shared. The Romans had taken the Mediterranean basin and turned it into a safe collection of shipping channels so people could travel literally from one continent to the next. And the Romans had also created a system of roads and pathways so that missionaries like the Apostle Paul or a young preacher named Timothy could travel from one part of the world to the next. In addition, there was the Roman peace that had settled upon the world. And so the soldiers from the Roman government were protecting every nation and every region. So it was possible for those carrying the gospel to travel throughout the then known world. But most importantly, all the prophecies from the Old Testament that needed to be fulfilled about the coming of Christ had been fulfilled. Or as the Apostle Paul would write, when the time, the set time, had fully come. Boy, we walk away with a wonderful characteristic of our Heavenly Father as we consider this. And you know what that characteristic is? God comes at the right moment. How many of you know that God is never too early? He's never too late. But He always comes at just the right moment. And He meets our needs when our needs need to be met. Maybe you're in need of having some needs met. Maybe you can relate to the story of the little boy who had a role in the Christmas pageant at church. He was an angel, and his lines were simply this: "It is I, do not be afraid. It is I, do not be afraid." He practiced them with his mother over and over and over. But when it came time for the Christmas pageant, and he stepped out on the stage, and he saw the lights, and he saw the crowd, an awkward silence came over the little boy. And he said, "It's just me, and I'm afraid." Maybe you can relate. Maybe this Christmas and this December has you unsettled. Would you take a lesson from the Galatians 4:4 statement that God will meet your needs at the right time? He knows what you need, and He knows the time to give it. This promise is echoed in the beautiful scripture from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 19. "Since we have a high priest, Jesus, the Son of God, who has gone into heaven, let us hold on to the faith we have. For our high priest is able to understand our weaknesses. And when he lived on earth, he was tempted in every way that we are, but he did not sin. Let us then feel very sure that we can come before God's throne where there is grace. There we can receive mercy and grace to help us when?" When we what? Need it. God gives grace and mercy to help us when we need it. This is a neat little Greek phrase, "when we need it." Eukarios botheas, two words. Eukarios means seasonally or opportune. It's the same word used to describe the actions of Judas in Luke chapter 2 and verse 26, when we're told that he was looking for this opportune time or the right season to betray Christ. And then botheia is a beautiful compound word, boy, meaning to call, theia or theos, meaning to run. So put it all together, and you've got this phrase that says, at the right time, God comes running when we call. At the right time, God comes running when we call. We call, and God looks for the right time, and He shows up. He comes, and He meets our needs when we need it. There's another translation that says it like this: "Let us boldly approach the throne of our gracious God, where we may receive mercy and in His grace find timely help." When my three daughters were small and we would travel, I made it a practice of carrying the airplane tickets in a satchel because I didn't want them to lose them. Now, that was back when we did have airplane tickets of paper, right? Some of you may not remember that, but they used to. And so I would keep up with them, but for whatever reason, I thought it would be a good exercise for them to learn to give the ticket to the airline attendant when they boarded the plane. So I would position myself in between the airline attendant, who would take the ticket, and my daughter, who would give the ticket. And when each of them stepped up to board the plane, I would reach in my satchel, give the ticket to them at the last minute so they wouldn't lose it. I gave it to them at the right time, and then they would give it to the attendant and board the plane. God does that with you and with me. Right here is your need. here you are. He has placed himself right between you and your need. And at the right time, he will give you what you need when you need it. Do you believe that? At the right time, he will give you what you need when you need it. This promise appears many times in Scripture. In one occasion, Jesus said to his followers, "When you are arrested and judged, don't worry ahead of time about what you should say." How many of you ever worry ahead of time? That's the definition of worry, isn't it? Worrying about something ahead of time. He said, don't worry ahead of time about what you should say. Say whatever is given to you at that time, because it will not really be you speaking. It will be the Holy Spirit. Jesus is saying, I'll be right next to you, and at the time you will be given something that you do not currently have. The Holy Spirit will be speaking through you. We see a picture of this promise in the Old Testament, in the way that God provided manna in the wilderness for the children of Israel. How many of you remember the instructions that God gave to the children of Israel? He said, every day you can collect enough manna for that day. But if you collect enough for 2 days, what would happen to it? It would spoil. The one exception being Friday, when you could collect enough for 2 days so you wouldn't have to collect on the Sabbath. But the idea is God would give enough manna for that day. No need to collect more than that, because God gives us what we need when we need it. And again, this is the message of the birth of Jesus. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. God's eye was on the clock. God's eye was on the clock. He had circled a date on the calendar. I do not know if heaven has a break room and if that break room has calendars, but if it does, when the angels went in for coffee, they saw that God had circled a date on the calendar. And when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. He was watching the clock of history. Hear me, please, please hear this. God is watching the clock of your life, and he will give you what you need when you need it. Do not give in to long distance anxiety. Just don't do it. We tend to, do we not? But if you have given your heart to Christ, he has given a pledge to you, and that is he will give you what you need when you need it. So there is no reason for you to give in to that long distance anxiety. As children, we give in to it. A child might say, do I have what it takes to be a high schooler? A high schooler might say, do I have what it takes to pursue a career? A young adult might say, do I have what it takes to be married, to be a spouse? Someone married might say, do I have what it takes to put up with this spouse? As we get older, we say, do I have what it takes to be a parent, to raise a teenager? And we see loved ones who are struggling or maybe going through an affliction, and we say, well, what if that came my way? Do I have what it takes? We might even go to a funeral and say, do I have what it takes to face my final moments? Do I have what it takes to face tomorrow? Can I answer that question for you? The answer is no. No, you do not. You do not have what it takes to face tomorrow because it's not tomorrow yet. But when tomorrow comes, you will. When tomorrow comes, you will. God meets the needs of the day when the day arrives. Do not give in to long-term anxiety. He will give you the ticket when it's time to board the plane. He will give you the words when it's time to speak them. He will give you the manna enough each day for the day. He will give you the strength when the challenge arrives. He is the master of the moment. And he gave his son, Jesus Christ, at just the right moment. By the way, another moment is coming. Another moment is coming. And again, it falls to the Apostle Paul to give us the description. He says that God has set a day when the entire human race will be judged and everything set right. Don't you love that phrase? Everything set right. And he has already appointed the judge, confirming him before everyone by raising him from the dead. Who is that? That's Jesus Christ. So Jesus is coming. So another date has been circled on the calendar of God. But this time we know no angel knows that date. Only the Father knows. But that is a time that has been set, and that time will not be changed. It has been fixed in eternity. And just as Jesus came the right time the first time, so Jesus will come the right time the second time. And this will be an amazing moment. Oh, it will be such an amazing moment. The world will see another instantaneous transformation. When Jesus went home, he left the back door open. And as a result, he's inviting us into his house. And at that moment, we shall all be changed. Look at this. In a moment. In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. How long does it take your eye to twinkle? Oh, that wasn't long. That's how long God will change. It will take God to change you. He needed only a moment to change the world. He needs only a moment to change you for eternity. Again, if you have given your heart to Christ, Christ has given you this pledge. He will change us. He will change us into bodies that will never see death or decay. He will change us into minds that never wander or never grow feeble. He will change us and give us hearts that have love like the love of Christ. We will finally be shaped into the image of Christ. I cannot wait to see you after that moment. What a moment it will be. And this is the moment that we are looking for. So we do not dwell upon a timeline that continues endlessly. There is no infinity to this state in which we find ourselves. We're not on an endless circle of history that continually repeats itself. No, we are headed to that great moment that will change history forever, that divine event. So next time somebody says, well, what's this world coming to? Now you know what to tell them. When somebody says, what's this world coming to? You tell them that it's coming to a day when every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So Jesus came at the right moment. Jesus comes at the right moment. For that reason, we can say confidently, God says, now is the moment. Now is the moment to trust him. Now is the moment to turn your heart toward him. Now is the moment to learn to walk for him and with him. I was on granddaddy duty Friday night. I love granddaddy duty. My little 2.5-year-old Rosie is the light of our life. And the ladies had to go shopping, and so granddaddy got to hang out with Rosie. Rosie was over at our house, and the sun had set, the sky was dark. Still, she wanted to be outside, so we were walking up and down a path, and she said, can I go see the Christmas lights? There are Christmas lights at the front gate. And so I said, sure, but it's a pretty good walk. It would take about 10 minutes to walk from our house to the front gate. And so off we went. We had taken no more than 15 or 20 steps when she stopped. And she turned and she held up her hand and she said, stay right here. Stay right here. What can I say? 2.5 years old and she's already stubborn and independent like her grandmother. Dienland's not at this service. So don't you tell her I said that. Well, I wasn't about to let little 2.5-year-old Rosie go on a walk down a dark path by herself, but I thought no harm in letting her think she is on her own. So I let her take half a dozen steps, and then I just started walking quietly behind her. She wasn't alone, but she thought she was. And at a certain point, she stopped, and I saw her little head go from side to side. I don't know if she heard something, or maybe it just seemed darker, or maybe the shadows seemed longer, but then she stopped and she turned and she looked, and there I was. And when she saw me, she smiled and extended her hand, and we finished the journey together. I think we can overcomplicate this thing of walking by faith. And we can overcomplicate the idea of the moment of salvation. You know, the moment of salvation is when we finally come to our senses and say, you know, I was not intended to make this walk alone. The path gets too dark. The distance is too much. And the shadows are too long. Salvation is simply that moment that you stop and you say, I need my Heavenly Father. I need Him. And you turn and you look only to find He's been with you all along. That's what salvation is. Walking by faith is the same thing. Walking by faith, those are those moments we stop and we say, the challenge is too great, Father. The needs are too great, Father. I need Your presence. In fact, spiritual maturity is when we move from stepping out in front of God to walking with God to finally saying, God, why don't You lead and I'll follow You. Can I just say, now is the moment for you to stop. Wherever you are on life's journey, now is the moment for you to stop and you to turn and look to your Heavenly Father. Would you do that? Maybe you've never done that. Maybe you never have. You see, sin is simply that independent spirit that says, I can lead life on my own. I do not know what else we need in terms of reminders to convince us that we were not intended to lead our lives alone. We've had hurricanes this year, mass killings. Each and every one of you have had your own personal issues of health or financial challenge or relationship issues. What more do we need? How foolish our stubbornness must look in heaven when we think, oh, I can do this on my own. We cannot. Salvation is simply that moment we stop on the path and we turn and we look and we say, I need somebody to lead me. Only to find that our Heavenly Father has never left us. And walking by faith, that's when we do the same. Please, now is the day. This is the moment to turn and look to your Heavenly Father. Again, it was the Apostle Paul who always seems to have the right thing to say. And God spoke through Paul and said, look, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Jesus Christ Himself said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Well, the first moment of transformation went largely unnoticed by the world, but you can bet your sweet September that the second one will not. Every eye will look, every ear will hear, every tongue will confess, every knee will bow, every hand will lift to give glory to the King of Kings who has returned for the second and final time. May that day find us looking and hoping. Amen. 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 Lord, we bless You now and we set our hearts toward that day. We tend to get our eyes so focused on the here and now that we forget about Your return. And so, Father, right now we just lift up our hearts and we lift up our eyes and we look toward that day and we anticipate, we are excited about seeing You face to face. Till that day, Father, help us to live before You as the one who trusts You to meet our needs in the moment. Forgive us for our anxiety. It's unnecessary. Help us to have hearts that trust. And Father, we pause on the path and we look up to you and we say, will you please lead us the rest of the way? Through Christ we pray. And all the church said, amen.